Welcome to Kadampa Podcasts. These podcasts offer practical solutions to daily challenges and help guide us to a happier and more peaceful state of mind. In each episode, you will find an extract from a teaching given by one of various Kadampa Buddhist teachers worldwide. All these teachings are inspired by the profound wisdom of Venerable Geshe Kalsang Gyatso Rinpoche, a Buddhist master for our time. We hope you enjoy listening.
How do you feel tonight? Do you feel warm-hearted and close to all living beings without exception? Of course not. Why not? There's only one reason, and that is because we haven't trained in generating this warm heart and feeling close to others. It's very simple training. I'll give you very simple training tonight. I promise if you carry out this training every day, your warm heart and your feeling of being close to others will increase. So I don't know about you, but for me, this Venerable Geshe-la's expression here, maintaining a warm heart and feeling close to others, sometimes it doesn't click with me. A warm heart, feeling, I kind of get it if I keep repeating it, a warm heart, feeling close to others. But there's a better analogy, I think it's better, which Geshe-la teaches in a book called Joyful Path of Good Fortune, when he gives the example of this feeling, this loving feeling. 1,000 years ago, there was one of the ancient Kadampa Geshe's called Geshe Potawa, teaching the same teachings. And a woman wanted him to explain to her what was affectionate love. She asked him, what is affectionate love? What is affectionate love? What is it? And his reply was, what do you feel when you see your own son? You are delighted to see him, and he appears pleasant to you. So I have a son, so I can relate to this. If you don't have a son or a daughter, I don't know what you do. Think about your pet, or think about your mother, or something like this. But we all know this feeling. A friend, maybe a very good friend, or someone, we're delighted to meet them. Automatically, when we see them or think about them, our mind fills up with light. We're delighted. Yeah, and it's fascinating, because our mind has changed into love, that person appears pleasant to us. So not many people these days are mothers, but in the past there used to be a lot of mothers. But, when we've got kids, I mean, you know kids, you've been a kid anyway, you've been a child in the past, children sometimes appear disgusting, filthy, and awkward to their parents. Their mothers, don't they? They cause trouble and so forth. But still, the mother sees the child as pleasant, even though it's being a little brat. You know, a little pain in the neck. Still there's this loving feeling coming from the mother and the father, hopefully. Yeah? We all know this. We all know this very well. You know, this is affectionate love. It's very simple. It's the simplest and easiest form of love. We're going to study other types next week and the week after. Cherishing love, wishing love, and so forth. But affectionate love is the ground. It's the basis. Without it, we can't develop all the other types of love. It's impossible. Yeah. So we all know this feeling. I hope. If you don't, I pray for you. But we all know this feeling, but we only have it in a very narrow way, don't we? We just have it for a few people, maybe one person, I'm not sure. But we know the feeling, but it's very discriminatory. It's very biased. Actual affectionate love is having that feeling for each and every sentient being, living being, without exception. No discrimination at all. Every living being appears pleasant. Every living being, you're delighted to meet them. Okay? So you can imagine, I mean, we can just imagine that now, can't we? We can't do it, we can just imagine it. What must it be like if my mind was so well trained that every time I saw or thought about any living creature, any living being, I would be delighted, and they would appear pleasant to me. It's an incredible mind. It's such a beautiful mind. Such a beautiful mind. It's just the beginning, you know, cherishing love, wishing love, great compassion. There's so many other minds we have to develop, but this is the seed, the basis. Everything comes from love, doesn't it? We know, everyone knows. So what's important to do the meditation is to actually know what the object is. The object of the meditation is this feeling of love, which is, Geshe-la says here, a warm heart and feeling close. It's the same feeling, just different words. Warm heart, feeling close. Or we can say delight, and that person appears pleasant, they appear pleasant to us. Pleasant feeling. We don't need to think too much about it, because as soon as we start thinking, we destroy it. You know what I mean? I often say, please don't think too much. Just get that pleasant feeling. Oh, that's it. That's affectionate love. That's it. Just hold it and grow it, develop it for everybody else. You know. So because I'm teaching Kadampa Buddhism, Kadam Dharma, which is coming from the wisdom Buddha, Manjushri, Dodi Shugden, these wisdom Buddhas, they teach this lineage. What I'm going to do is give you some very clear logical reasonings to help you develop this special feeling of love. Okay. So it's very quick, very simple actually. So the reason we don't have this feeling for everyone else, just one or two people, is because we misidentify those people. We don't know, we don't recognize them for who they really are. Yeah? It's our problem. We don't recognize them for who they really are. We think they're enemies. We think they're strangers. We think they're weirdos. We think they're, you know, all the people we don't like. We think all these people are, but this is all wrong. It's all mistaken. It's all mistaken. So if we really take this to heart, the teaching I'm about to explain, it's up to us to make a choice, to make a conscious decision. I'm going to regard each and every living being in this special way in order that I can develop affectionate love, cherishing love, and so I can love and have compassion for every living being without exception. No exceptions at all, none. Don't leave anyone out. But we have to really take on board this logical reasoning. Okay? We have to understand it from our own point of view. We have to make it, it's got to make sense to us. You can see how it works. The internal logic's irrefutable. There's no way we can disprove it. So, what do we say? What does Geshe-la say here? Anyway, this feeling of being warm and close to others, this makes our mind pure and it makes it balanced. Normally our mind is unbalanced. We feel either too close to some people out of attachment, or too distant from others out of anger. We get angry with people and we feel distant from them. So it's not possible to develop this beautiful mind of bodhicitta in such an unbalanced mind. And this unbalanced mind is the source of all of our daily problems. If you check, you know, all the angst, all the stuff in our heart that's going on every day, the irritations, is because we discriminate friend, enemy, stranger. This person's my friend, this person's my friend, they're doing bad. We're constantly putting people in boxes that we don't like or we do like or something like this, all wrong. We may think that some people are our enemies because they are harming us. So how can we develop a warm heart and feeling of being close to such people? This is my thought, isn't it? How can I possibly feel warm-hearted and close to these people who are so horrible? How is that possible? This way of thinking is incorrect. So it's not incorrect to say that they're being horrible, because they probably are, but it's the way that we recognize who those people really are. Who are these people? Who are you? Who are you? Who am I? Who are any of us? The people who we believe to be our enemies are in reality our mothers of our former lives. So this is a beginning of a clear logical explanation about how we can develop affectionate love for each and every living being. Because each and every living being is our mother. It's a fact. Get over it. Stop struggling. If you can never prove it to yourself, simply believe it, because it's a beneficial belief. It's a beneficial belief, you know. We say, Geshe-la tells us in his teachings, even if something is true, if it's not beneficial to believe in it, don't believe in it, you know. And if something looks relatively untrue, but it's beneficial to believe in it, believe in it. Yeah? I mean, for myself, for example, I can prove, I'm very satisfied, very happy to prove to myself clearly that each and every one of you and all other living creatures are my mothers of my former lives. I have no problem with that at all. But maybe you have a problem. Maybe you can't figure it out, you know. Depends upon our understanding of the mind. Understanding by mind. But if we can't figure it out, it's still beneficial to believe in it, because that belief will solve all of our problems. No more problems. When we believe sincerely from the depths of our heart, each and every living being is a mother, our mother of our former lives. Beneficial belief. So it's not correct to reason, sometimes we object to these things, to say, oh, our mothers of our former lives are no longer our mothers because a long time's passed since they were our mother. If our present mother was to die today, would she cease to be our mother? No. So my mother died about 9 or 10 years ago now. I still think she's my mother. She is my mother, my mum of this life, my mum of this life. Even though she's passed away, she's taken another rebirth. She's doing something else right now, you know. She's still my mother. And the same logic holds true for each and every other living being. So the reason I can say this is because our minds are formless, unbroken continuums of cognition that are different entities from our body. They're not the body. Your mind does not come from your body. Sorry for shouting, but I've got to be insistent about this, you know. Your mind does not come from your body. Your body is matter. It's made of atoms and molecules. It's made of iron and lead and stuff like that. Well, my brain is made of lead anyway. Our bodies are physical. They're material. Our mind is immaterial. Our mind is not matter. Our mind is beyond matter. It comes before matter. It creates matter. It is the creator of all. Our mind. It's unbroken. You cannot stop the mind. It's impossible to find a beginning to the mind. Many meditators who've done this backwards tracing meditation, trying to find the origin of their own mental continuum, have failed, including Buddha Shakyamuni. All the enlightened beings cannot find a beginning to their mental continuum. So how can you? You can't. Pathetic. There is no beginning to the mind. There's no beginning to time. There's no end to the mind. There's no end to time. Because our minds are deluded right now, we're grasping all the time at things that don't exist. We accrete to ourselves this collection of stuff we call a human body for a brief while until it breaks down and collapses and dies. And then our mind has to move on to another body, depending upon the karma we've created, the kind of actions that we've done. Do lots of negative actions, you get to a worse rebirth. Good actions, good rebirth. This is a good rebirth, this one. Anyhow, I don't want to go into too detailed this, but the point is the mind is a formless, unbroken continuum of cognitions, of thoughts, feelings, and so forth. That's all it is. It's a separate and different entity completely from the body. Yes, it's intimately connected to our bodies right now, but this is very temporary. Very temporary. Yeah. Soon, gone, dead. Where gone? Well, gone somewhere else. Found another body or become liberated. Wonderful, you know. But anyway, so if we break this, if we can do the meditations, which I've already taught a long time ago, on the nature of the mind, which is like essential, basic, tenet, understanding in Buddhism, the nature of the mind, the function of the mind, and so forth. If we really understand about the nature of our own mind, we won't have any problem at all in accepting that each and every other living being is our kind mother. We won't, because I've got a beginningless continuum of mind, therefore everybody else got a beginningless continuum of mind. So countless bodies, countless rebirths. We've done this many, 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 many times, countless times in the past. I've been your mother, you've been my mother, and brothers, fathers, sisters. We've been in every possible relationship in the past that you can imagine, over and over and over and over again. But the essential relationship is the one of our mother, which is one of kindness. You know? Think about what our mother did for us. She saved our life countless times. She did so many things for us. We all have a special feeling for our mother. So, if our present mother were to die today, would she cease to be our mother? No. We would still regard her as our mother. The same is true of all our previous mothers. They died, but they remain our mothers. So you can see, if you take this on board, your perception should change. And gradually, as you're looking or thinking, looking at other people or thinking about other people, they take on the aspect of mother. They don't look like your mother because they're all different bodies and so forth, but you've got this feeling coming. This person's my mother. This person cared for me. This person looked after me. I have a close relationship with this person from my previous lives. Do you see? But anyway, I see it. So in our daily life, we see many different living beings, human, non-human. We regard some as friends, some as enemies, but most as strangers. These distinctions are made by our mistaken minds. They're not verified by valid minds. So who's got a valid mind? Buddha's got a valid mind. What is a valid mind? It's a mind that is seeing the truth. You know, our minds don't see that. Well, our minds perceive the truth, but we don't cognize the truth. You know, the truth is appearing to us all the time, but we don't see it. We're blind, blinded by our ignorance. Yeah. So our discriminations, friend, enemy, stranger, that you hurt me, you said that, blah, 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 blah. These are all non-valid minds. They're mistaken minds. We're like a person who's taken psilocybin, ayahuasca, or any other hallucinatory drug you like to think about, and we're seeing things that don't exist. You know? Yes, we're seeing people, but we're cognizing them in a completely mistaken way. Completely mistaken way from the people they really are. They're all our kind mothers. In reality, we're not seeing them like that, are we? We see my friend, my enemy, the prime minister, blah, 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 like this. We don't see them as our mothers, so we're mistaken. So rather than following such mistaken minds, we should recognize and believe that all living beings are our mothers. Whoever we meet, we should think, this person is my mother. And in this way, we will generate a warm heart and the feeling of being close, equally close to all living beings. This teaching on each and every living being is our kind mother is wisdom. This belief, if we believe this, is wisdom. It's wisdom. Why? Because it's believing in a meaningful object. If you check the object, just think about the objects you've been focusing on for the last few weeks. Wisdom? Meaningful? Probably not, unless you've been here doing some meditation. Most of the things we focus on most of the time cause us to become upset and disturbed, don't they? We worry about things, we get depressed about things. All of these are meaningless. Meaningless objects. They have no meaning. They only serve to cause us trouble and difficulties. We can never solve those problems by thinking about them. Instead, what we need to do is focus our minds on meaningful objects like this one, believing single-pointedly that each and every living being is our kind mother. This will solve, this one belief alone, solve all our problems.
If you feel inspired by this podcast, then dive deeper into timeless wisdom of modern Kadampa Buddhism by following the link in the episode description. We look forward to reconnecting with you in the next episode of Kadampa Podcasts.